Welcome, fellow Last Pacers, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And today's episode, we are going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, the holiday special. Is it holiday special or Christmas special? I'm pretty sure it's holiday special.
Holiday special,
even though the episode was 100% about Christmas.
Christmas.
Right? I just wanted to make sure, because I wasn't. It does say holiday, but yes. So that's what we were going to be talking about. And joining me, as you guys can see, we've got Chris. Everyone give Chris a round of applause for being back on Debrief. Clap, 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 clap. Even though we both have soundboards and are not playing an applaud thing. It's okay.
Mine's queued up, yeah.
Mine's not queued up either. I'll put it in post.
Oh, wait, there we go.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So, we're going to talk it about just like we always do around here. Spoilers ahead, guys. If you don't want to listen to any of this before watching it, please hit pause, go watch it, come on back so you guys can hear what we thought about the episode or the special, because it's just one episode, which was 43 minutes or 45 minutes. It was a good, amount of time. But as always, like, subscribe, all that good stuff for us, really helps up the channel. And yeah, let's get right into it. So this is the second Marvel special, Werewolf by Night, which if you guys have not watched, please watch it because it is so good.
But I need to, actually.
It's so good. I did a review on that one too, and it was like one of my favorite things that Marvel did this year. It's definitely worth checking out. I wanted more after it, but this is the second one of these specials. And before we get into our thoughts about it and stuff, I just think it's kind of cool that Marvel has gotten to a point where we can have just these specials, even with the whole cast of these big time movies, right? Because Guardians and obviously Infinity War and things like that, these are big, big characters. And it just shows that how much fun they're having with James Gunn, and James Gunn just being the person I can bring everyone pretty much back to do this. And to have the whole Guardians cast itself, no one being replaced, is awesome. Or someone being off world or anything like that was really cool to me that they all came back and did it. But he also said that he did this during the filming of Guardians 3. So that makes perfect sense on why he was able to have everyone. So, and he talked about, there was an article, I forgot who wrote it, but an article about how much he enjoyed being able to have both. So that's really fun. And I don't know if this might pretty much be James Gunn last Marvel stint, this and then Guardians 3, because he has taken over the role of pretty much, he's the Kevin Feige now of DC, which is really exciting news for him and for DC, because and he's already been tweeting out hints and stuff like that. He already, last tweet he did was Mr. Terrific. So please, James Gunn, just please. Because we'll talk about that in another time. But so it's really cool that he was able to do this and then kind of add to his elements. But what were your thoughts on the special itself, Chris?
The special itself was it's actually the first Christmas thing I've watched this year, so it already put me in a good spirit. I thought it's that classic Christmas fashion where it's it's funny, it's cheesy at the same time. But it was a fun adventure. The opening was, I got a little confused.
Me too.
Because the animation. As soon as the animation came up, I was like, I'm not watching 45 minutes of this.
Yeah.
I love you guys, but there's no way I'm doing this. Yeah. So I actually paused it and went back and I was like, what's going on here? And then I gave it a few more minutes, and then as soon as I goes back to real life, I was like, okay, I see what's going on here. Overall, like I said, it was a very heartwarming thing. I'm glad that they added Yondu into it at a certain point, and you got to see the lighter side instead of him being a jerk all the time.
Yeah.
And before Yondu was gone, everybody thought he was rough, you know what I mean? And he really loved Peter, and you really see it in the story at the end there. That last 2 minutes was okay, this wraps it up very nicely. And this is very sweet. It shows how Star-Lord gets his blasters. And also shows where Yondu got his little toy that was sitting on the front of the ship. And I thought that was a really cool callback. And the fact that they roped it into Christmas was pretty good. Very surprised that, I don't know, I shouldn't be surprised. Kevin Bacon,
yeah,
being in it, like, I thought it was going to be a joke of like, Kevin Bacon, like, yeah, something small, but he's in majority of it.
I mean, like, he's like the main focus of the thing. Yeah. Like, he's like legit the main reason. Like, he's actually in it more than Star-Lord is.
Like, yeah, yeah, know, exactly. So that's why I was like, that's why I was shocked. And I really enjoyed, I love, you know, musical openings. I like that Christmas musical opening of, oh,
the song was so good.
And you know what, they're like, oh, you know, basically they wrote a song about Christmas from a game of telephone. That's how, yeah, I pictured it. It was like, explain Christmas to me in a game of telephone, and then we're gonna write this song from the last person that tells us that. And that was what's so funny when they set it up. They're like, yeah, we got the meaning from this person, they got it from this person, they got it from this person, they got, yeah, it from this person, they gave it to me, and we have the song.
So, I just love that the song, while they're playing the song, it's literally like Peter's just like, wait a second, you guys like just picked these up? Like,
yeah, yeah, like, you guys just got these instruments.
Like, because they're like legit, like in a full song, like it seems like they've been rehearsing forever. Like, he's got like lyrics for this whole like thing. And yeah, like you said, it's more like a game of telephone of, hey, I heard about this, like this was cool, and like this things were happening. And the song starts off great, right? Like, it's just like, yeah, that's pretty much Christmas. And then it just takes a turn where you're like, wait, what? This is like, what happened here? But yeah, I did love that though.
And then also at the end with Kevin Bacon singing also, yeah, with that band was really good. But overall, like I said, very hard, like, it put a smile on my face. It's a very fun special that they did there. And I'm glad that they're doing these Christmas specials and stuff like that, because I know the joke about the Star Wars Christmas special. Oh,
well, that's not a joke.
Okay. Well, the joke, you know, is, what I mean,
being made.
Yeah.
But now,
but the fact fun, that these things, yeah, now that these things are coming out, I kind of hope we see more of them.
Yeah, it's I think we will see more of them, especially because, I mean, this was a good one, right? This, I think, I felt like the cast, obviously the group of people, were the perfect thing, because, you know, it's not something you would expect from this crowd, even though it makes the perfect sense, right? Like, because obviously Peter will have some kind of influence on them. I thought it was interesting how we got, like, I loved that James Gunn threw in some things here that are, you know, actually part of the story that are going to be kind of important, just like as for, like, for certain references and things like that. Like the fact that the Guardians now own Nowhere, like, it kind of, I love that they made it kind of nonchalant, so it's not like, oh, you needed to know this big thing, but we're giving you story bits of basically connecting what happened between two and what may happen, you know, what you guys are going to look for in three. So I do like that we're getting these kind of bridges just to fix it up, and it actually saves time for the movie to actually focus more on the movie than trying to answer questions on, like, oh, like, when did they get this new, because these are questions that, you know, some people may ask, but like, oh, when did they get this new this place to stay, like, no, when did Nowhere become their base and stuff like that. So now that we have a place, knowing that Nowhere is now their new, like, basically like grounds of operation, I thought that was really cool. I also thought it was cool that they mentioned the Collector being alive during Infinity War, and not getting, like, you know, getting what's the word for it?
Involved?
Bopped. No, like bopped. What? Well, not bopped. What's the word? Blooped.
The blip. Oh, blipped.
There we go. I was like, what did they call it? Bop. I knew it started with the B. I knew it started with the B. So yeah, it was nice to, like, hear things like that, and just, you know, obviously Mantis and Drax's relationship, just, you know, hilarious, because they're just polar opposites that are just funny with each other. And just hearing them kind of, like, you know, give us different rundowns of what's going on in the whole Guardians universe.
Also, like, we don't have to have a weird moment too with Mantis being you know, his sister.
Yeah,
is like, we don't have to have that weird moment in the third movie where it's like, we didn't need this moment here. So yeah, they, you know, they kind of got it in there.
Well, it's good, because again, like I said, they can now focus more on story driven exactly things. Yep. Also, like, not having Gamora in it, kind of makes you go, well, obviously he's going to still be sad because he doesn't have Gamora. And obviously, you know, them, it also, like I said, shows what they think about Peter, like, and how much of a family he's made them become. Because, like, for her to do all of the things that she did, and even being like direct family now to her, like, even before then, she was willing to do it. And then she felt like the obligation because he's made a home for them. Like, you know, a bunch of these, you know, people who you wouldn't expect to be together are now together because of Peter, and they show that appreciation for him. I liked that they showed Cosmo and made her pretty much comic book, like pretty much the way she is in the comics, being able like to have telekinesis, but still having dog features, like, you know, wanting treats and stuff like that. But hearing the thoughts of a dog, because that's something we kind of do in our head anyway, like just hearing what thinking, what is our dog thinking, or like, you know, what is this dog thinking? So it's really cool to have, you know, that moment, especially with Rocket just kind of being like, hey, you know, like, what's the point of using telekinesis if you can't focus and stuff like that? And she's just like, what do you like? You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying my best here. Let me get one of them treats. Like, you know, and I feel like our, like, dogs do that. You know what I mean? What do you want me to do? I'm trying. Okay. I just want a treat. But then also seeing Groot grown up at like more of like a young adult.
He's like boxy. Yeah.
Like a young adult at this point. Yeah. In Guardians 2, he was teen, right?
Guardians 2 or was that
Infinity War?
He's a teen.
Yeah. He's a teenager. Now he's kind of like in this, you know, young adult age. So I think that's cool. But it also means, you know, some significant time has passed by. So I'm curious to see when they are going to start Guardians 3, or what is the time frame for Guardians 3. So it should be very interesting just to see where we are once we get there, because Guardians 3 is like at least 2 years away, if I'm not mistaken, because next year is, what do we have next year? Ant-Man. I think the Marvels are also next year. So I think Guardians is the following year, 2025. Just, you know, having things like that to kind of bridge this, I think it's dope. I think they might do another one, just like, it might not be a Christmas one or something else, because Kevin Bacon kind of was like, I'll be back at Easter. So I thought that would be funny, like, you know, if they maybe did an Easter special. But yeah.
So real quick, sorry to interrupt. It says May 5th, 2023.
Maybe it is that close. I mean, it would make sense if it was. I just remembered it getting delayed, but I know they did that whole big shift. But it would make sense for it to come out the following year. And then, I mean, to drop this closer, like close to it, just so that you could have, you know, people can have that bridge also. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's May 2023, because I know it's 3 movies next year. So, and I think it's that.
You only get 3 movies next year?
I think so, because I know for sure
Ant-Man. Yep, in theaters, Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. It goes Ant-Man, Secret Invasion, Guardians 3. Yeah.
Secret Invasion got turned into a movie.
Okay. The Marvels.
No. Secret Invasion's a TV show.
That's not what that is. Oh, okay. So they're putting in.
Yeah.
So this list is from, is the movies. So, yeah. Or the movies and shows. So yeah. Ant-Man and Wasp. Mm-hmm. Secret Invasion show. Mm-hmm. Guardians 3 movie.
There you go.
The Marvels. Is that going to be a movie?
That's a movie.
Okay. Yeah. It says Disney Plus series.
No.
This one.
Really?
Okay. No, yeah.
That's supposed to be a movie. Unless they
and then Echo, another Disney Plus series. Yeah. Ironheart.
That's a TV show.
To be announced. Armor Wars to be. Okay.
Armor so Wars has got moved, been moved to a movie, though.
Okay.
That was a TV show that's now going to be a movie.
All right.
So yeah. So I think, you know, I it would make sense if this does come out in May, just because, again, you want to release this pretty close to when you expect the movie to come out, and it's a good time. People are going to have Disney Plus. They're probably going to be getting new TVs, things like that, and want to see, you know, some stuff. So it was really cool to see them go to Earth and their whole thing be like, we're going to get Kevin Bacon because obviously there's still I don't even want to say language barrier. It's more of a like cultural barrier, because, you know, they're aliens and, you know, he's a human, and them telling these stories about Kevin Bacon, not knowing that he's an actor at the time, until they find out on the ship, which was hilarious, where he's just like,
quick question on that too. Was that a shot? Because this was filmed way before this, I'm pretty sure. But I felt like, I mean, it was just perfect timing, I'm guessing. But like the whole Tarantino thing, him coming out saying that the Marvel superhero, they're like not actors.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, it probably, but he's not the first one. So like, okay, it wouldn't be surprised. Like, it's just relevant, but he's not the first one, because Martin Scorsese did the same thing. The dude from Dune said the same thing. Just like, it's been one of the things that really gets me upset about these famous directors who I love. Like, you know what I mean? Because their work is amazing. I mean, James Cameron also, same thing. But they feel this need to downplay the Marvel Universe anytime they have a movie coming out. And it just feels very, like, it just feels very small. Because, like, you're bigger than that. You know what I mean? And
I know, It's just, you should be happy that these, like, you know.
But the thing is, like, if you feel that way, like, my thing is, if I was a director, right, and I just think for them to come out and just be like, oh, well, you know, everything. Well, then these are the things that are being sold, right? But they're not just, there is context and there is depth to a lot of these movies, right? Like, there's, it's not just, you know, are all of them great? No, but like, that's not the point, right? You can't say this is a form of cinema where there is no, you know, my cinema is what actually is like movies. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, what are you talking about? Like, they're making a movie, and if you enjoy it, watch it. If you don't watch it. You don't have to hate on it because you don't enjoy it, or you don't deem it as
or just the genre in general. There's people that have genres. There's people that don't like this kind of genre, and then there's people that like, you know, comedies, dramas, all that stuff. They have that. Yeah. So,
or if you're so good and you think you're that good, make one. Let me see you make one.
That's what I was about to say, you know, too. Yeah, if I was the director, I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, make one and then show us that you're not, you know what I mean? Because for I forget the guy whose name is from Dune, but for you to say something about like the medium, like, and you know, did a story based off of a book, it's kind of weird to me. Like, you know, when people say like do stuff like that, because like what you're creating isn't original either, if that's the line you're going through, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, you're basically plotting what they're doing too. Like, if you don't consider comic books an art, or that's on you. Like, you know what I mean? Because there's plenty of people that read The Watchmen as like literature art. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's taught in English schools. Like it's literally taught in English classes. Like, people watch, like, reading The Watchmen because of the way it's written. So I don't like how these big directors come out and start saying things like that, because it just feels like you're bigger than that, like, and you don't need to bash on something that people are enjoying. Because you know what? At the end of the day, the cinema that you love and all the things that you're talking about, like, oh, guess what? Those movies are not the movies people are going to watch. No matter how much we love them, like, your movies are mostly in the majority, like, as far as being big box office, like, you know what I mean? Or even saving, or the reason... Like, movie theaters would be gone right now if it wasn't for Marvel movies, like, or superhero movies. And, like, that's, like, the realest, like, I don't care what anyone says, but even, like, you know what I mean? And you, it's just, like, if you're going to, and think about your peers who you're talking about, like, the directors who take their time to do things like this. And, you know, are you're bashing on them because you've, like, you know what I mean, because of the genre they're doing. So you're going to tell me Christopher Nolan's not a movie maker because he made Dark Knight? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I hate when they do that. It's really annoying. And they, like I said, there's like five or six directors like who've done it. James Cameron has done it. Meanwhile, he's got, you know, that he's got a whole series of movies that, you know what I mean? Like, are probably gonna, you know, be even on more of a hype because of that. And let's be honest, Avatar 1 wasn't that great. So.
Like, yeah, I am very upset with myself because it comes up on Facebook memories of me saying like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. Oh my God. Oh my. Yeah. And then I watched it the other day and I was like,
no, it looks great. But again, the story, there's no depth to that story. There's a lot of things, but this is not what we're here for. Sorry about that rant. But yeah, it was cool to see all the references that they also threw into there. Just like Drax referencing Batman. I mean, Kevin Bacon. referencing Batman, like, you know what
crazy.
I mean?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy too. I was like, oh, wait.
It's not the first either. It's not
the first. No, it's not. Yeah, no.
Because
no.
In Internals, they did it too, yeah. When he was the Superman reference, which is good. Like, why not? You know what I mean? And I know Marvel is in a very comfortable spot to where they don't have to feel like they're in this whole rivalry. But again, like, these are iconic characters. Like, people need to know who, like, people know who Batman and Superman are. Don't, they, like, you know, the whole, you know, can't, you know, feel, can't feel like you can say, like, these other mediums in movies. It just seems weird to me. Like, you know what I mean?
I personally,
like,
think it would be cool to have that if it would be cool that in, you know, the Marvel universe, that people that are reading comics are reading DC comics, like, they're a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then people in DC are reading Marvel because it's like they don't exist in each other's world, but they have the book. And yeah. They're like, oh, I'm a fan of this guy. Like, yeah, that, I think that's pretty cool.
They should do that. And I mean, we might see some more of that stuff with the relationship now, you know, being yeah. That Feige and James Gunn are, you know, I would consider they're pretty close because of that. And I obviously Kevin Feige is really excited for him, too, because at the end of the day, like, comic book readers and fans and stuff like that, at least the ones that I know, like, yes, you can have your preferences and stuff like that. But, like, I love DC comics. Like, you know what I mean? I love DC. I love Marvel, like, equally. I love indie stuff, too. Like, I just love reading good stories. If it's a good story, it's a good story. I don't, you know, I used to be one of those who hated Green Lantern, right? Like, I couldn't stand Green Lantern. Then I read some really good Green Lantern stories, and I was like, oh, this is one of my favorite characters, because, like, it does depend on who's writing it and things like that. So, you know, I would like to see that. And I mean, hey, James Gunn is here. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we did get our comic book with Justice League and Avengers. So, you know, if we can get a movie, that would literally break everything.
You know, I don't think we need a movie. I think
movie. Would you can't, there's no way there's no way
you can do all that.
There's no way the money, the funding, you would have to get too many big actors. No way. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't do it for cheaper just because of the thought behind it, but there's no way. yeah. So, you know, things like that. I just think it's, you know, would be cool if they took the chance, you know, to do it. So, but now we have that communication between them. It might be something we see a little bit more. I did love that we had, like, Transformers that were in there. We had GoBots in there. We had, like, a bunch of the Hollywood cosplayers, which was hilarious too. Like, them thinking,
oh yeah, you're right, yeah, yeah. You know, and then making money, like, yeah. She's flashing the money. I was like, what are you doing? Yeah,
exactly. Like, they're making money off of it. They just a reference when she's like, let's take a picture of the God of War. Like, just fun stuff like that, you know, because you could take that anywhere, right? Like, you could take that as God of War's Ares, who is a comic book character, or he does look like Kratos, like, you know what I mean? So so it's just like, and what a perfect time, right? Because the movie, I mean, the game came out.
Yeah.
So, like, stuff like that was really cool, and it was really aware of what it wanted to be. And I thought, for me, that was a lot of fun in this. Kevin Bacon calling Rocket a talking raccoon and him being pissed off again.
I'll kill you.
Yeah, it's like just him being mad about it again. Like I said, just little nuggets like that. We see Kraglin have the Yondu thing on his head, but he doesn't know how to control the whistle, like control the needle yet. The whole reference between him saving the galaxy with, you know, a bunch of callbacks. Rocket getting Bucky's arm as a present from Nebula. And let me tell you, Nebula was my favorite part. She was only in for about maybe 10 minutes, but
bro, that dance, I was cringing really hard. It made me feel uncomfortable.
For like
uncomfortable.
Minutes,
I was like, ugh.
The 8 minutes that she was on was perfect. Like, when she pulls out the gun on Kevin Bacon, like, it comes off from off screen, and then you already know it's her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just know it's her. And then just, you know, the way that she reacts to things. Oh, so great. And I love Karen Gillan. I did take a picture with her in MegaCon, I think, like, 3 years ago. Good times. So, yeah, overall, and like you said, when you talked about the origins of the gun, and just the way when Peter, when Mantis, you know, finally speaks to Peter and kind of says, oh, Kraglin doesn't know the rest of that story, you know, and like you said, where Yondu kind of feels bad because he did, because he loves Peter, right? And we know that from Guardians too. Just like, you know, he did look at him as a son, right? And just when he does the, you know, realizes like, oh, I hurt him, he kind of gets him the, you know, gets him the present. He opens up the present and sees that it's the little thing. And then he gets him the present of the guns. And then they're kind of having like, you know, they go into light speed. And then, you know, they're just having a good time and cracking jokes. So it was really heartwarming, especially for Star-Lord's character to be in that situation where people, you know, really do care for him and did all of this just to give him a replication of what Christmas would be like, you know what I mean? And then him saying that sweet line to Mantis, just saying like, oh, you know, having a sister is probably like the best Christmas gift, like, you know, present that you could ask for. And it was really sweet and heartwarming and cute. And, you know, even throughout all of that, having like a ton of fun, you know, where Drax is flipping police cars and Mantis is doing some crazy running, like, bro, like all of it was just really cool. So
I wanted to address Drax struggling to say that he loves Peter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see it. Yeah. She's like, do you love Peter and want to say and help and save Christmas, or do you want the tiny man? And you see him, and he's like, I want to say it, but the tiny man.
Like, and it's just like a little elf. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So it's, they just had, you know, it had the great Guardians humor that we expect from James Gunn. And like I said, it did a really good job at not showing too much that will make you confused when the movie comes out, but enough to be like, oh, this is a good, I can see why they have Nowhere Now. I can see where all these characters were or what they were doing in between this time. And it makes a, you know, gives you a little bit more of a nugget if you check them out. And again, I love the, you know, the Kevin Bacon references, like for you know, Footloose and stuff like that. So overall,
which I totally thought we were going to hear that and they were going to break out into dance or something. Yeah. I kind of had a feeling you that was going to happen, and they kept it away. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So overall, like I said, enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. Just, you know, fun little watch to do right before, like you said, to get you kind of in the holiday spirit. So, and it was nice, like I said, with the way that it ended. And then we got the post-credit scene where they're decorating Groot as a Christmas tree, which is kind of funny, but overall.
And then they said they needed another special. They have to make another one. They're exactly. Like, that means we got to make it. And I was like, oh.
Who knows? And hopefully they can get James Gunn. I just hope that even though James Gunn is going to go to DC and, you know, do the Kevin Feige stuff, I hope that if he's not too busy or gets that itch to want to direct something like one of these specials or like write for it or something like that, that he'll still be able to have that relationship, because it does seem like it, because of, you know, he was able to go do Peacemaker and Suicide Squad and all that stuff, and you know, he was still able to do these, so it just seems like he wants to be like doing stuff like this. So I hope it's not one of those things where it's just like, oh, you work for DC,
you're locked in, like, yeah, you have to stay there,
because I think that ends up hurting us for if we're not able to get people who can do both. So but what was your favorite part before we wrap this up?
Favorite part of the special is that opening, man. That opening song is just too good.
It's a bop. It's just a bop. I want to find the name of the song so I can download it and just have it, you know what I mean? But
yeah, and that band that they had on there it's a class, like how they sang it too, and the backup singers and everything was just a classic, like, oh man, this takes me back.
It's so good. And James Gunn is notorious for having really good music in his thing, because if obviously Peacemaker probably has one of the best, you know what I mean, entrance, like you know, intro musics, because like no one skips it, right? Like you always watch the routine. So he loves having like music inside of his shows, obviously with Guardians being so musically heavy also. He's just really good at, I get like picking music, and that's a really nice thing to have, because you remember it, right? Like, I mean, you remember those songs, and those songs are memorable. I mean, you even had, what you call it, in your wedding. So like from Guardians 1. Like, you know what I mean? It does make you it is memorable music. So I think it's really cool that he has that ear for it, to see, oh, this is really going to work with this scene. So, or this, you know, or this movie. So that's the thing for me. Like I said, Nebula was my favorite, just even though it was 7 minutes of what it was, just when she was on the screen, it was the funny, like the loudest that I laughed. I was just like, she's hilarious. Everything she does is just funny because she's trying to be so serious. And like, but she's also like starting to open up that little, you know, like, you know, it's like you said, kind of where Drax is like, he's going to stay this like person who's always angry, where Nebula's like, I'm angry, but like, I don't want to be angry. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but this is my personality. This is who I am. Yeah.
How I was programmed. So it's a really fun, you know, counter, like fun balance between the two. Yeah. So, but yeah, overall, I absolutely enjoyed it. I hope they continue to do more of these specials, because for me, they're 2 out of 2 with Werewolf by Night. We had for Halloween pretty much, and now we have this. It's really nice that they're kind of doing, we got 2 for the, you know, pretty popular, you know, special like holidays and stuff. So it was really nice. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up. You had anything you wanted to close it off with?
I guess just a quick question. What's your favorite holiday movie that you watch every year? What's a Christmas movie you watch every year? You make sure that this is one that I'm going to see.
It's a no brainer, because my favorite actually plays as 2, because Nightmare Before Christmas actually counts as my Halloween movie and my Christmas movie. So I tend to watch, I have to watch, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas on Christmas Day, just everything about it. So that would be my go-to, but I always watch that in October. I start watching that in October, which is when I finally get a house and stuff. My whole goal is to make my, you know, Halloween decoration be Jack. And then while it's like the closer it starts getting to Christmas, just start putting little Christmas things like around Jack.
And then transition it.
That's my goal when I like get a house and stuff like that, because that's what I want to, I think it would be amazing and it's easier to keep up. I don't have to take anything down. I would just be adding. So, and then just do the big takedown once I'm done. So yeah, that would be my favorite. What about you?
Yeah. Mine, I'm a Home Alone kid.
Me too.
It just cracks me up.
Home Alone 2 is a classic, is what, like, you know, what's funny, 'cause I don't know what we should do a special like Halloween movies that we love, but, I find it funny that Home Alone, do you like Home Alone 1 or 2 more?
See, that's rough. I think 1.
Okay. Well, I love 2, because 2 is my favorite. I think 2 is the better, like, I think the jokes are just funnier, and I don't know. I love 2, but
I'm going to be watching 2 because last year we watched 1. Mm-hmm. Bree's never seen them. Oh. So last year we watched 1, and we didn't get a chance to watch 2, so I'm like, this year we're watching 2.
Yeah, 2.
So, yeah. They're so good.
2's Rotten Tomato score is so bad. Like, they
is made it really? It,
yeah, they made it seem like it's one of the worst movies. And I'm like, Home Alone 2, like, I get it if you prefer Home Alone 1, but Home Alone 2 wasn't bad. Like, it was more of the same. And I remember looking at it because I saw this thing where it's just like Rotten Tomato scores that should like be like redone. And it has a 35% for Home Alone 2. And that doesn't seem right to me.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, no.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's funny. So I was just curious to see how many people didn't like Home Alone 2, because I always loved it. So,
yeah. I also got introduced real quick. So the reason why I'm asking this is, one, to add to the viewers' Christmas viewing list. Like, oh, yeah, I should probably get back on these. There's a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he gets a toy.
Yes. Gosh. Oh man.
I saw that for the first time last year. Good. I was like, this is good.
Gosh. Really, what is the name of that movie? I know what you're talking about. It's so
and good.
It has Danny DeVito in it. Right? No, that's
20. No, it has
I know what you're talking about. Hold on. I know exactly what movie.
Jingle All the Way. Yeah. Wait, is this the right one?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it has Sinbad in it.
Yes, it's 100% that, where he's trying to get the toy, and
that got a 19%.
You see what I'm saying? There's some movies where like that's a great movie.
They're just hating on people.
Yeah, that's just a funny movie. I mean, even what you call it is in there, like The Big Show, like That cast was hilarious. But yeah, it's a good one. That's definitely a good one where they have to get the toy and they're standing in line and then the whole fight happens. It's so funny. It's so good. Yeah, that's a good one for sure. But yeah, we should definitely, we'll think about, we'll plan something out and do like a, you know,
holiday special. I definitely want to see that fighting Santa movie that's coming out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Some action pack. We should do a review on that one. But anyway.
I'm down. I'm down. Yeah. I think it comes out soon. I'll let you know when I go watch it. But yeah, that's going to be it for us, guys. Thank you for joining us. As always, we appreciate it every time. We're going to be if you guys haven't listened, Andor's out also. I dropped it. So go ahead and check those out and everything else that we dropped. So, you know, be sure to check them out. Be sure to check out Chris's stuff on his channel, Cold Fever. Right?
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing gameplay. I started doing a VR recording. So I'm playing The Last Clockwinder, and that came out the first episode came out today.
Nice.
As we drop this, it'll be out on my channel. So yeah.
So go check that out too. And yeah, and just remember, go ahead and write Yendi that he a shame gif or something like that. Just cause it's fun. But until next time, Fire Team out.